A former inmate in Illinois is suing the state for putting him into solitary confinement for more than two decades. Anthony Gay went to prison in 1994 on a robbery charge for stealing a dollar bill and a hat. Behavior problems added to his sentence, and by the time he was released last August, he'd spent 22 years in isolation. His lawyers say that pushed him to the edge of insanity. Anthony Gay is here with us now, and a warning, this conversation at times will be graphic. Anthony, welcome. You say in the lawsuit that isolation was torture. What were those 22 years like?
I was trapped in a cell 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Time descended like the lid of a coffin. My cell was smaller than the size of a parking space or a small bathroom. On many occasions, I would be isolated on a wing by myself in a cold, freezing cell or strapped down in six-point restraints. I would be punished for cutting on myself and given an unappetizing diet called meal loaf that looked like feces and tastes like dog food to punish me for cutting on myself.
In fact, you mutilated yourself. You used pieces of metal to slice into your neck, into your arms. You cut off parts of your genitals. How did that begin?
I transferred to TAM Supermax in March of 1998, and I was put in a cell where the window was up high and it was hard to see out of, and I couldn't endure it. I just started cutting on myself to be able to get out the cell. And at first I used to do like superficial cuts, and they didn't take me serious.
Hmm. And how would you do that? How would you get the device or the metal or whatever it was that you used to cut yourself?
Sometimes, like, I might get some mail. It might be a staple in it or...
A staple.
Or I might find a piece of rock in the cell somewhere or an ink pen and sharpen it up.
And you would do that because you wanted to get the attention of people. You wanted the guards to notice you. You wanted the nurses to rush into your cell so that they would tend to you, so that they would touch you. I mean, is that what that was, that you were just seeking some sort of human interaction and human touch?
Exactly. I wanted to know that I was human. I wanted to feel alive, and that's what the only means I could do it.
And when they came in, how did it feel?
It made me feel alive, 'cause the nurses were very caring, compassionate. They were like, clean the blood off me, encourage me not to do it.
Did you consider suicide at any point?
Yeah, on occasion I did, like the time I cut my neck.
This happened over the course of many years. You were moved from prison to prison, and you were not a model prisoner. You got into fights. You attacked guards. Of course, that would extend your periods in isolation. What would you say to people who are hearing this and this terrible story and thinking, well, if you had behaved yourself, this wouldn't have happened to you?
I think that's misleading. I wasn't doing it so much to hurt people. I was doing it so I could actually get out and have contact with people. For example, like now, I'm out here in society and I'm free. I don't just run around attacking people, jumping on people, putting my hands on people, throwing things on people. I'm acting like a human would. Under human conditions, under civilized conditions.
At any point did you get the mental health care that you presumably needed so badly? Did anybody intervene and get you in front of a psychiatrist so that you could get any kind of help?
I mean, that's a difficult question to answer because at the end of the day, whatever treatment that they did give me was never sufficient.
And what kind of treatment did they give you?
Like cell front. They'll talk to me at the cell front, or they might see me once a week.
No one ever took you from that cell and put you in a psychiatric hospital, for instance.
Exactly.
Right. I want to bring in your lawyer now, Alexis Garmi Chardon. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Hi, Peter.
Well, this is just a terrible story. Thank you for speaking with us. How did Anthony's story come to the attention of you and other lawyers?
I met Anthony and first heard about him only after he got released from prison, which was back in August. By that time, however, there'd been a lot of other attorneys working both in the criminal system and the civil system who were working on Anthony's behalf. Anthony, at one point, was sentenced to over 90 years in prison. And with, it's a bit confusing, but with 152 of those years to be served in solitary confinement as administrative punishments for violations he committed while in IDOC.
And can you explain that? Because I think that that is a fundamental part of this story. He went into prison on this robbery charge for stealing a dollar bill and a hat. But then the punishment kept getting stacked up and stacked up and stacked up. How did he go from that first charge to 22 years in isolation?
That's right. And I think this story illustrates how prison can be a real trap for mentally ill. Anthony went in after, that's true, being convicted of stealing a hat and a dollar bill in a street fight with a man who had insulted his sister. He actually was given parole, then drove without a license and finds himself incarcerated in IDOC in his early 20s with a 7-year sentence. He could have gotten out in 3.5 years. Unfortunately, Anthony had some disciplinary infractions. He didn't get the good time, and he ended up in solitary confinement after one of those disciplinary infractions. And from there, he rapidly began to decompensate. Solitary confinement is known to ravage people's minds.
But it took 22 years before a judge recognized that was happening with Anthony, intervened, and then eventually let him out of prison in August. How did you get a judge to empathize with what was happening?
So because of manifestations of his mental illness while he was in solitary confinement, he ended up getting referred by corrections officers for infractions such as throwing urine or feces at an officer. He'd get referred to the state prosecutor, and the state prosecutor racked up those charges and brought 22 successive criminal cases against Anthony. Eventually, over a decade later, the state appellate defender found his case, wrote some powerful briefs on his behalf, and at the end of the day, it wasn't a judge who had the power to overturn those convictions, but it was state prosecutors who recognized the injustice of what had happened and were willing to negotiate with Anthony's criminal defense attorneys to reduce his sentence. Even after he knew he was going to get out, he was still in solitary confinement.
Well, he can't be the only one who's going through this. Many states, as you know, are trying to make changes to their prison isolation policies, but the issue is still there. I mean, by some estimates, there are more than 80,000 inmates across this country that are in isolation, spending up to 22 hours a day alone. According to the Chicago Tribune, which has reported on this story, of 1,100 inmates in Illinois who are in solitary, 900 of them have been diagnosed with mental illness. I mean, should we just assume that Anthony Gay is not the only person doing grave harm to himself or herself in isolation?
Yeah, we should assume that. And we don't actually just need to take it on assumption. There's a lawsuit going through the courts right now, which is challenging the mental health care being provided to prisoners in Illinois. And Anthony was actually a witness in a hearing in that lawsuit just recently. And the judge just last October declared that the level of mental health care being provided to these people is constitutionally inadequate. As you mentioned, other states have begun to adopt rules that would prevent what happened to Anthony from happening again. In Colorado, for example, they have banned the use of solitary for periods longer than 15 days at a time. And they've also banned the use of solitary confinement ever when it comes to a person who is diagnosed as mentally ill. Since they've done that, they've had a decrease in assaults and other problems. And of course, it's a lot less expensive.
Anthony, as terrible as all of this is, there is good news here, which is that you are now a free man. I'm sure you never thought that day was coming as you spent those 22 years in isolation. So tell me about that day that you stepped out of prison and you walked home to see your family back in August.
I think the greatest thing about that day was, prior to all this, my niece, Ariana, had wrote me a letter and told me that her sister had told her that I had life in prison and that she thought it was sad. When they came to pick me up, I was actually able to give her a hug and tell her don't believe everything she hear. And then to go home and hug my mom and my father, it was just like unbelievable. But I am here, and it's awesome to be free.
Are you working? Are you getting therapy? What's your life like?
I haven't been able to work yet. but I am getting therapy on a regular basis. We discuss my history and moving forward and trying to make something good out of something bad.
Because you have scars, Anthony. I mean, not only the physical scars all over your body from the self-mutilation, but the scars on the inside. I mean, do you think that you can recover from something like this?
I think Gandhi said it best when he said, the only way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. So I'm trying not to focus on my scars, but focus on those that's left behind and try to throw them a lifeline to help pull them out the ditch.
Have you hurt yourself since you've gotten out of prison?
No, sir.
Good for you. Anthony Gay, now a free man after spending 22 years in solitary confinement. Best of luck to you.
Thanks.
And your lawyer, Alexis Garmi Chardon. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for having us, Peter, and helping Anthony tell his story.
We reached out to the Illinois Department of Corrections. We did not hear back.